God. This doctrine recognizes the parting of spiritual gifts to certain men that are given authority to teach the truth of Bible doctrine and to shepherd the sheep of God. Roman numeral 1, the gift of pastor teacher, often named PT, is one of the five offices ordained for the church. An office being one who is given authority, handed down by God and men. The offices, the communicative offices, are listed, as we know, in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he gave some as apostles, prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers, for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of service to the building up, edification of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That particular passage lists the communicative offices. And then you have Acts 6, 1 through 6, that then addresses office of deacon. It came about out of necessity in regards to the growth and expansion of the church early on, and the logistical and physical needs that was necessary to apply towards those believers that needed it. And it was at that point in time becoming so encumbering that it was taking the apostles away from their primary responsibility and duty of office, and that is study and teaching Bible doctrine in their prayer life. And hence, deacons came in to view, which came through the thinking of Bible doctrine within these particular believers, and God endorsed it. And it then became legitimate. And that's the situation here brought out, Acts 6. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint rose on part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews. Hellenistic Jews, simply a reference to Jews who lived outside Israel proper. And native Hebrews are those who were still within the land. And believers came out of both areas geographically in this regard. And the accusation was partiality was being expressed because their widows were being overlooked in daily serving of food. That somehow some preference was given to the fact that just because you lived in Israel, you get priority over those who are not from Israel properly. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables." That is not the preference, see. The preferred way of going about in regards to shepherding churches. Three, so the solution came about, but select from among you, brothers, seven men of good reputation, full of spirit and of wisdom, that's maintaining, filling the Holy Spirit, truth of Bible doctrine, whom we may put in charge of this task, to hand down authority given to them, to handle the logistics. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's where the time and effort is to be dedicated by the pastor. And the statement found approval with the whole congregation. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And the wisdom in regards to the picking, as the majority of these were Greek or of Hellenistic persuasion, to make sure that that accusation had no basis anymore. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them, denoting a transfer of authority and power given to them. That's what laying of hands symbolizes, to perform their task. And then you have 1 Timothy 3:8. Reference to the deacons and the fact that they have their own standard of godliness code of which they are to maintain in fulfillment of their offices. Deacons likewise, in conjunction with pastors, be men of dignity, not insincere, double tongue, hypocritical, not a drunk or addicted to much wine, or dishonest, fond of sordid gain, etc. So, A, the offices include 1, apostles, 2, prophets, 3, evangelists, 4, pastor teachers, which is a single gift office, and 5, deacons. B, to hold an office denotes one's position of authority and administration in the church, as we read in regards to the deacons, that they were to be put in charge, given authority, and then the laying of hands that symbolize that transference of authority. And then compare 1 Timothy 3:1 in regards to the pastor being referred to as an overseer, one who has authority. It's a trustworthy statement if any man aspires to the office of overseer. It is a fine work he desires to do. See, the first 4 offices in the list there are primary communication gifts designed for the spiritual edification of the church. Again, Ephesians 4:12-13. They are called Christ's gift in Ephesians 4:7. Given to men. Christ's gift given to men. That denotes they are spiritual in nature and correspond with one of the 3 necessary spiritual gifts bestowed by the Holy Spirit that are deemed highest in priority or rank of all the spiritual gifts, as listed in 1 Corinthians 12:28. Again, the most natural harmonization and conclusion in regards to the concept of the offices being spiritual gifts and the list, how they are listed in Ephesians, and how they are listed here in 1 Corinthians 12:28, that the spiritual gifts, spiritual offices, are in direct association parallel to the spiritual gifts. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has appointed in the church, first, these are all ordinal adjectives denoting rank and file. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. And then you have the remainder of the gifts that are listed in that respect. So obviously, in the office, apostle has the gift of apostle. And apostle is referred to as a spiritual gift in 1 Corinthians, as well as prophets. And then you have the issue of evangelists, and then the pastor teacher, which teacher, who ever heard of a prophet without the gift of prophecy? Well, you know, same thing. Who ever heard of a pastor teacher didn't have the gift of teaching? It becomes part of the repertoire in regards to God-given support with respect to the individual. The fifth office, now a deacon, to define the difference here, again, is logistical in nature. It's designed to deal with the physical function of the church, the physical needs of the church. And carries with it no specifically designed prerequisite corresponding spiritual gift. To be a deacon, you can have any of the particular gifts and still fill that role, even though, as we know, a good gift for that office is administration. Ability to coordinate, correlate, and follow through, make sure things get done. But people can employ the principle without having the gift. So, whereas the difference between office, communicative offices, is that there's a joining spiritual gift, obviously, that signifies office. With deacon, there is not. If the offices of apostle and prophet were temporary, as the necessary spiritual gifts were temporary, part of the early church imparting of gifts, the office of evangelist as a distinct individual office was also temporary, as seen in Philip the Evangelist, the only one mentioned as being an evangelist in the entire New Testament, Acts 21:8. He functioned under the signs of temporary gifts, Acts 8:5-7, which was particular to function under temporary gifts such as healing. Things of this nature were particular to temporary offices, ability to do the same thing. And that's what I'm bringing out there. So H, however, the intended function of this office still remains extant. To call somebody an evangelist, there's nothing wrong with it if that's the mode that they're operating in. Though its responsibilities and authority attributed to the office is applied to local church are absorbed under the office of pastor teacher. And we put this together by the fact that Timothy was instructed to do the job in an evangelist and he was a pastor. And denoting the transition, if you will, of the early apostolic era into the era of permanent spiritual gifts to carry the church through. 2 Timothy 4:5. It is the office of pastor teacher with the corresponding spiritual gift of teaching that is a primary communication gift designed to carry the church to the rapture. J, the gift of pastor teacher is a, quote, hyphenated gift based on the fact that one definite article serves both pastors and teachers, while the conjunction and, or chi in the Greek, acts as a hyphen. Pastor and teacher, that and, that chi, acts as a hyphenation. In one definite article, in regards to the list of communicated gifts, there's one definite article before apostles, there's one before prophets, there's one before evangelists, but there's only one before pastors and teachers. And this is, and that governs both of those in a singular sense. You have two words that are employed, but only one thing or idea is intended. This is called a hendiadys. It's also known as Granville Sharp's rule, who figured out in the Greek when you had this particular setup, that's what you had, hendiadys. In fact, the second noun is to be understood as an adjective of the superlative degree and could be translated teaching pastors. Teaching pastors. K, the word pastor means shepherd and metaphorically refers to the one who is in charge of a flock of sheep, but not literal sheep. The sheep they're in charge of, one major difference, they have volition. They choose to be sheep, they choose to be obedient or disobedient. L, the second noun, teachers, obviously emphasizes the individual pastor's number one priority as the spiritual leader, namely, to lead the sheep to spiritual nourishment. Number one priority is to be in my study and be prepared for every Bible class. John 21:15-17, which we read in our preceding notes, that Peter's love for the Lord would be evidenced by his willingness to feed, our verb bosco, translated tens, and means to feed the sheep under his charge. And then, obviously, the verses that we just got through going through, 1 Peter 5:1-4. So in the thrust of this gift is to equip the royal family to carry out the various aspects of the ministry, just as it is with all of the communicated gifts. It's not the following verses after Ephesians 4:11-13, the following verses 12 and 13 are designed to be appropriate, apropos for all of these communicated gifts, including the evangelist. That's one that the fundies don't bring out to you. Well, you say you're evangelist, can you take your people to maturity if you have to? Can you know that much, doctor? Or all you can say is love Jesus and believe in him and be saved, if you can get that much out. Anymore is almost questionable. So the thrust of this gift, the pastor teacher, is to equip the royal family to carry out the various aspects of the ministry, to edify the body and bring positive volition to maturity, to outline for you through Bible doctrine teaching the proper form and organization and operation of a local church, to build you up spiritually, to help you rid yourself of any human viewpoint thinking, to reprogram with the mind of Christ, to challenge and keep before you at all times Bible doctrine with respect to your own application, to help maximize your own SG3 account, to be a candidate for the prize, and to grow up eventually and become a properly functioning, mature believer. All right, we'll take our break.